Well, Crows lost another game they were expected to win. We're in a position to win, Bone. Yep. Their season, strangely, is still alive, some may say. Our next guest is Crows assistant Matthew Clark to discuss the whys, the hows, the whens and the whats. Doc, how are you?
I am well. I've been better, but I am okay.
I must admit, we were at the airport and we see you guys quite a bit after games and losses. That one was gut-wrenching. I was down the club actually today and guys are still not dragging their tongue around. I know you've got to move on, big game, but that one, of all of them, really hurt internally, I think. Doc, would you agree?
No doubt. Compounded by the week before, I think. Obviously, you know, very similar situations in terms of scrapping and fighting and getting our way to the front and then just not being able to finish the deal, which was, it was pretty gutting. And, you know, everyone's obviously, particularly post-match, you know, it's pretty hard to stomach. But believe it or not, we're still alive. We've got a very slim chance. We're heavily reliant on other teams. But I guess we've just got to prepare as best we can and do everything right in the hope that that we still do have a third time lucky.
Hey, Doc, you made an interesting point. You said it's hard to stomach. Is it hard to stomach because it's hard to identify a consistent problem that seems to ebb and flow a little bit? What's making it hard?
Oh, just the wasted opportunity, the missed opportunity. Okay. And I think the other element is it has been, you know, obviously a really challenging season and the effort and that's gone into getting ourselves back in contention and then into the eight and then, you know, being really fortunate last week to stay in the eight and then to have it present once again and not to be able to grasp that opportunity. That, I mean, obviously that's the disappointment and the frustration yeah. of the season. So, but as, you know, there's one to go and if we dwell too long on what's been, and it has been a tough week, we won't be preparing properly for this game coming up.
My assessment's been the effort, I guess the grunt, the desire, the want to win, the willingness to be behind and fight and get in front is there for me. Oh, I haven't questioned that. I don't know about you, Bone. You do a tad. But for 21 rounds, as far as game style and ball movement, team defence, there's been no improvement, Matthew. The best has been great. Your worst has been terrible. And that inconsistency has frustrated. Again, we're into the 22nd round. I haven't seen any improvement. How do you get that right? And what's wrong?
Well, I guess while you say you haven't seen improvement, you'd have to I'd argue against that somewhat in that we were zipped at three and we found a way to get ourselves in a position where we're, you know, a realistic chance to play finals and within games and within quarters we've played a brand of footy which is pretty solid, but in terms of the consistency of producing that week in week out, yeah, obviously that hasn't been there. The reasons why, I mean, obviously a bit of soul-searching has gone on already, a lot of soul-searching, but the post-season period will be, you know, a significant analysis of all of that. But I guess in the short term, while we've identified some of the things that we need to clearly do better, we really do have to, you know, play it right to the line and, you know, and results pending, you know, we're still alive. So we look to that game.
Yeah, well, I still see the same dumb turnovers. I still see the delivery inside 50 improving. Your defensive spread, your team defence, you know, tackling from one week it's on, the next week it's not. The overuse of handball, you know, your structure breaks down under real heat. I mean, they're the things I'm talking about that haven't improved. Doc, they just haven't. You're still turning the ball over in dumb positions like you were round one.
Certainly some really costly ones on the weekend, which resulted in goals straight away. You know, you lose the game by a small margin, under two goals, and you can analyse it to death, but ultimately, you know, those critical turnovers can, you know, we convert one less of those and we convert one at the other end and you're walking away with a win and the analysis would probably be different, which is unfortunate in some respects because you'd like to think that you analyse fairly dispassionately, but there's no doubt that the result does impact that. So, yeah, those critical turnovers. Often the bloke with the ball in his hand is obviously ultimately responsible for his ball use, but in many cases the guys up the field have got a fair degree of responsibility as well. Certainly the Brown one coming out of defence, you know, in reviewing that one, he looks up and there's just no one to kick the ball to, yeah. Which obviously makes him turn around and make a poor decision. But, yep, No, we're well aware of those issues, mate. I guess the challenge is to do something about it.
Yeah. Doc, the heat after that loss, rightly or wrongly, is going straight on the coaching group, not the senior coach, all of you. Missed the eight again. Reality is there'll be changes. Do you guys feel that?
Well, I think it's the industry, mate. It's a winning and losing industry. So if you're uncomfortable with that, then you're probably better to pick a different industry. So I think anyone that chooses, and some would say it'd be a lunatic choice to move into coaching, you enter the profession well aware that it's a winning and losing game, and if you're not getting the results, then ultimately pressure will come to bear. But having said that, you basically do your job to the nth degree. You do everything within your power to get a result. And my attitude to all that stuff, whether it be a playing or a coaching career, is to do everything you can up until round 22, hopefully finals. And then at the end of the season, you make all your assessments in terms of what's the best for the club going forward. Mm. So it's been my attitude over 20 years I've been involved in footy, and I'll probably stick with that approach, I think.
Yeah, and every week your head's on the block, no question. And look, it is delicate to go here because it's all your guys' careers and jobs, but do you think Sando needs more experienced heads around him or a different set of eyes around him, Doc?
I think what you see across the industry is that there's great benefit in stability, but there is also the need for new ideas and a fresh approach to the game at times. So I don't think that would change whether we're sitting eighth, third, even first. I think every club at the end of their season reflects on what's going to be the best mix for their group going forward. And always, in my experience, that's a delicate balance between maintaining stability and bringing in some freshness. So I don't think the fact that the season hasn't unfolded exactly as we'd want it to changes that in any way, really.
Yeah. Club's looking for a senior assistant / footy director's type role. What do you think Coach Sando needs to complement him? If you were to write the job description for Sando, what do you think he needs?
Well, it's an interesting position. It's sort of emerged in footy over the last couple of years, hasn't it? Up until probably 3 years ago, the role didn't even exist. So I think a senior coach, he's his own man, and he dictates the state of play and the way that the club's going to unfold beneath him. But very much probably the evolution has been to put a support team around that guy, because the demands of the role have become increasingly great over the year, partly because of the size of the industry and the level of scrutiny and the external demands beyond just coaching the football team, which have come onto the coach. So I think, you know, the role is valid, and it's a good one, because it does allow the senior coach to stick to core business as much as possible, which is obviously getting the best out of his 44 players. In terms of the specifics for Sando, I think he's pretty balanced. I think he's got a lot of bases covered. So I don't think there's a deficit that needs covering, if that's the angle you're going. I think it's more just a case of someone with the capacity to share the load.
Do you think he needs a greater on the field or off the field, Matty?
First and foremost, when you're trying to, you know, become a great club, you do need talent out on the deck. Ultimately, having been both a player and coach, it's a player's game. They're far and away the most important asset of any footy club. So getting that right is your number one priority. But then it's maximising their potential and getting the absolute best out of them. And that, I guess that primarily falls to the coaching group. So without sitting on the fence, I said number one.
No, you didn't sit at all.
But I'd say both are obviously critical.
So you'll be active players when the season's done in terms of drafting and that? I mean, I know you've had your hands tied the last couple of years, but you plan to be active again?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even in the two seasons where we didn't have the early draft selections, in many ways the recruiting team were working doubly hard to maximise the picks that we did have. So we'll be in a position where we'll have some earlier draft picks this year, and that's a good thing for the club long term. And it's just a matter of, obviously, those guys work ridiculous hours, you know, unearthing the best that they can, and this year they're probably smiling a little bit more than they have in the past couple of years, because they've sort of watched an enormous amount of talent pass them by. But this year they get to put their hand up and say, well, we'll have one of them.
What would be number one? What would be the best?
Oh, in the group?
Yeah, what would you? What do you need the most? What's the greatest demand?
I think outside run is going to be really important in the game generally. I think the congestion that we're seeing develop across the league says that you need hard bodies, but that congestion also has a flip side in that on the outside of that, there's a lot of space and you need guys that are able to burst and break into that. So I think all clubs will be looking to add that to their wish list. And I think, obviously, we've got some retirements down back, which mean that key defence is probably an area where we'll probably look to bolster as well.
Hey, Matty, that outside run, just quickly, I mean, your numbers again on the weekend are probably reflective of that, and you might be able to explain it certainly better than I can. You're number one with contested footy, you're number one in contested markings. I think that's over the competition, yet uncontested footy, you're 12th, and uncontested marking, you're 16th. So you can win it cool, but when you flip it on the outside, there is nothing there, or you just can't maximise it on the outside. So that's obviously adds a bit of substance to what you were saying.
Yeah, two elements, I guess. One is defensively. Sometimes, that number that they've racked up is, plus 60 or close to 70 uncontested possession ball. It's a little bit about our defensive transition, our ability to get quickly to players and not let them link up for, for three and four continued possessions. And it's also our ball use, which was, as Roey very pointed out at the start of the interview, was poor at times. And so we've got the ball, we're into that space, and we don't even, so the potential for a chain of possession goes begging.
Yep.
Rory Sloane's 100th game, talk about a heart and soul player. Be nice if they fired up for him. Matty, sometimes you do need something manufactured. Well, Croggies, if ever there's a bloke that puts his head in the hole and works defensively, it's him, isn't it?
Yeah, well, hopefully the motivation will come from wanting to finish off the season, individually and collectively really well. But also, season might be alive, mate. It's doom and gloom. I acknowledge that, but there's still a little ray of hope there. And then I guess, obviously Sloaney is the stand-in skipper along with Danger at the moment. And, obviously epitomises everything about the way you'd want to see the game played. My 2.5-year-old doesn't know much about football yet, but he knows the name Rory Sloane.
That's lovely.
he's pretty popular with the kids, and hopefully there's a big crowd show up. But I think he grew up barracking for the Saints, and Lenny Hayes might have been his favourite player. So that'll be a nice touch on the weekend.
Doc, all the best Sunday. Hope the Cards fall the Crows' way. Take care of business yourselves versus St Kilda Sunday. It will be sold out again for Rory's 100th. And thanks for your time, Doc.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for the support throughout the year.
Well done, Doc Clark there, answering some of those tough questions. And you know what? I think frustration's turned to anger with the supporters, and I think it has internally as well. They'll come out all guns blazing.
Absolutely. Expect a big showing on Sunday.
And I am led to believe
yes,
there could be Rory Sloane wigs at the ground.
Oh.
Was down there the other
marketing
day, and I saw a couple on a couple of desks. So 50,000 wearing the lock of white, curly, R. Sloane hair, hey?
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Doc Clark, our guest.